Welcome to the 144th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. As usual, I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Davis.
Hello, how are you, Lee?
Doing great. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great also. Thank you for asking.
You know why I'm doing so great?
Why is that?
The reason that I'm doing so great is because this is a bit of a reunion here.
Mm-hmm.
We have two special guests. That would be team captains Kristen and Fletcher. Welcome back, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
And you guys have been on a couple different times over the past year individually, and you even filled in for me as co-hosts when I went out to Texas. You guys did an episode with Mark.
Correct.
But yes, this is the first time since episode 18 that the four of us have been back on the show together.
Wow.
So
back yeah, again.
It's crazy. Great to have you guys on.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for having us back.
Glad to be back.
Yeah. And of course, we have seen you at trivia in between now and then. Just haven't had you back on the pod. Mm-hmm. And it's always a pleasure to see you guys show off your intense mental skills at mm-hmm. trivia, I would say.
This is 3/4 of the Wet Boys. Little mini reunion.
Yeah. Yep.
And we've even come close to having a Wet Boys reunion. I think I played with Jamie once or twice at your trivia, Lee. And then I think I did trivia once with Fletcher, and I think I maybe did it once with Fletcher and Kristen, but not the four of us yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have a good episode ahead of us then, for sure, I would say.
Oh, and yeah.
Yes.
Every time you guys are on, I am freaked by your knowledge, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, don't worry. I'll try my best to bring it down.
Imagine living with him every day. You're just, how do you know this?
I do sometimes. Why? When I hear a fact, I'm like, I bet Fletcher knows that.
I do the same thing.
I have a few different categories to quiz you guys on. We'll kick things off with a little appetizers question,
which is
apropos. 90s music, dinosaurs, 80s cartoons. Don't worry, Kristen. We were just talking about some 80s movies that you haven't seen. Interestingly, you've seen Ghoulies, but not Gremlins.
That is correct.
Okay, even saying it now, it just doesn't sound right to say out loud.
In what way did you see Ghoulies? How did Ghoulies come about?
I remember watching it when I was younger, and my dad just had like tons and tons of DVDs, and we just watched like terrible movies.
But not
all the time.
Gremlins. Ghoulies, but not Gremlins?
This man owns Ghoulies, but not Gremlins?
And I remember it because there's like some part in the movie where there's one like in the toilet, and this guy like runs mm-hmm. to the bathroom, and it eats him.
Right.
Or eats his ass or something.
Yeah, he was ahead of the game.
As a small
child. In the
80s,
even. In the 80s.
That was terrifying. Like, I still, like, will go check. Like, there's not, like, something, like, hiding in there. There's no, mm-hmm. like, ghoulie, like, waiting for me at, like, 3 a.m.
I think that
ghoulie's just in there munching the fart box. Just
I think it's based on that urban legend about the crocodiles coming up through the toilets in New York, right? It's like a play on that, I think.
Also, munching on the fart box. New band name, called it.
Oh, I think that's an Aerosmith album title. Aerosmith, munching on the fart box.
Yeah, it came out between Honking on Bobo and whatever they did after that.
Yeah, and then I'll close out my portion of the quiz with an inventions question for you guys.
Nice.
How about you guys? Care to share your categories?
Fun. Did you guys bring questions each, or did you bring
we
questions
each
together?
Questions.
Each brought.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Pro status here. Not like Max taking over Dan's
Oh,
question.
Come on now. Ooh, damn.
All We're right. going to let Dan have his day, though.
All right, let's see. I've got a little, I've got questions on literature, art, and geography-ish. Okay. Geography-esque, maybe.
Okay,
all right. Nice. All right, I have a computer technology history question, mm-hmm. a toy history question.
Yes.
And also geography.
Okay.
Oh, all right. We're going to get you our geography.
I'm just going to pick them, baby.
Right on.
I'm just going to pick them, baby.
Oh, and by the way, don't forget to check out Max and Dan's Doubled Feature podcast, especially this week. I'm going to be on with
Who's
them.
On? It's you.
Yeah. Yay. As Aww. A guest, talking about Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, the movies.
Nice.
good movie twins there. And I had a fantastic time, I think. And I even think I picked some stuff out of my viewing that I had not read online before. So there's some original nice. Trivia notes there by yours truly. But anyways, enough about that. Before we get to today's quiz, how about we go over our weekly wrap up? On Monday, we were back on Twitch for our Monday Mega Quiz number 123. Oh boy, Oberta, Max had the early lead, but was overtaken by Baha Men tribute band Alex after our iconic album covers image round. Alex held the number one position through the remainder of the quiz, including two rounds of general knowledge questions, as well as our Batman Villains Image ID and Canadian Rock Music Audio Round. Alex ending the quiz with 241,653 points, our fifth highest score of March, bringing his total win count to 10. Sweet Blasphemy in second with 217,729 points, and oh boy, Oberta Max in third with 214,784 points. On Wednesday at Pointy Bell Brewing Company, Threat Level Midnight took round number one, but was edged out by Bell's Squared in round two. Slow and Steady wins the race, however, with round three and the overall quiz going to the Shiba Inu Illuminati, who ended the quiz with 122 points, the second highest score ever at Pointy Bell, and they also hold the current highest score record at 124 points, as well as most wins. In online competition, Sweet Blasphemy blasted the Insane Clown Pussies, as well as Pink Punk Pink, ending the quiz with 111 points. I wrote bested, but I said blasted for some reason, which is just way better.
I wonder what was on your mind.
Yeah, blasted those Insane Clown Pussies. Juggalos! Mark, how did your trivia go at Nice Guys Beats on Wednesday evening?
It went good. We had a fair amount of teams out there. Two Amigos winning the first round with 23 points. The second round, we had a different winner each round, which was nice. Catcher in the Thigh with 36 points in the second round. And the last round going to Quizzard of Oz with 64 points. And on Zoom, Whiskey Tango with 81 points. Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt played also, making fun of my new job. Mark, did you get the memo about the TPS reports? And we had Ian back, the usual suspect. So that was very, very nice. He's been working his butt off. I don't know if you saw the pictures of he bought what the vehicle that was used in.
It's like a mule or something like that. Yeah.
And he renovated it and took all these pictures in black and white, you know, making it, you know, like kind of like reenacting like a world war or something like that. Very, very awesome. So that's I guess that's what he's been super busy with.
Welcome back, Ian.
Yes.
All in all, a very exciting week. And if you want to join us this week, you can do so tonight, Monday, April 5th. We return to Twitch at 8 p.m. Eastern with a Monday mega quiz based on your requests. Topics including John Candy, UFC fighters, types of armor, insects, regional foods, and more. That's tonight, April 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Twitch. This Wednesday, April 7th, we're at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for our 314th pub quiz. We'll be asking questions based on our player category requests about history. Geography, actually. Maybe I'll take one of your guys's. 70s TV.
Fantastic.
Harry Potter, Disney, the NBA, and more. Join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. Join us at Pointy Bell on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern or play along on our Twitch channel. If you're in the Cape, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza, Cape Coral, or on Zoom. That starts at 8 p.m. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us, won't you? Nice.
Okay.
Not so bad.
Yeah. Hey, I'm into it.
Not so bad. Yeah. Blasting the Insane Clown Pussies. My mom called me this week and she said, we were listening to your podcast with your nephew. And we were like, oh, let's put it on. And then Mark started talking about jizz music.
And we had that was probably the cleanest thing I said all episode.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like,
was it a Star Wars question?
It was. Yeah, okay. It was, jizz music. Is there another kind of jizz music outside of Star Wars?
I wanted to make sure that it was that reference.
I guess you could say like 70s porn music could be called jizz music.
Oh, definitely. That's the genre. Wow.
Or, you know, just Mark Riffin.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a little break, and then we will get right into trivia in round one.
Yeah.
Eating dinner for breakfast leftovers. I'm not above it.
Oh,
I'll eat whatever.
Yeah,
I will. Honestly, yeah. There's very, very seldom. I'm way more just by what I'm fancying than the time of day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yep. Sometimes I'll wake up and I'll be like, French fries? Sure.
Yep. Yeah. Chinese food? Why not?
Okay. I want Waffle House for dinner far more than I ever want it for breakfast.
Yeah, I will say, breakfast for dinner is the most popular of them. Yep. But, mm-hmm. Hey.
People don't judge that so much. It's the flip. When you eat dinner foods for breakfast, then people start to get, like, weird.
Sometimes
like,
have fourth meal for lunch.
Because right. There's, like, this idea that, like, breakfast is inherently better for you.
Right. Which you know I think I mean? Is outdated
Which I don't
science.
Think is, yeah, so I don't think that's true. Yeah.
No. If you're a lumberjack and you're going to be out all day and you need to, like, I need to eat 2,000 calories at 4 a.m.
the lumberjack slam at Denny's.
Pass out at
2 p.m. Two eggs, two bacon, two sausage, ham, fucking, you know.
Entire carafe of
coffee. Yeah. Two pancakes, whatever the fuck, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Sounds good. I'll even take the partridge at this point. Mark.
Are we in already?
I mean, no, but I was gonna
we are now.
I was about to pull it, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Your first question. Very pretty older chick is a mnemonic device used to remember the ingredients of what cocktail?
VPOC. Vodka?
Or vermouth?
Oh, it could be vermouth. Mm.
That's the first thing my mind went to.
Could it be vermouth if O is for olive?
Could it be what? Vermouth if O is for
olive? Would it be vermouth and olive?
Hmm. Could be. PC. Vermouth, olive. We're just building this cocktail out here for this sus.
Mind you, I have no cocktail knowledge. I just...
Cinnamon? Cinnamon stick? I'm trying to think of like a Manhattan or something right now, like a martini.
Mm-hmm.
Vodka martini, though. I mean, vermouth is okay. Is you know, a liqueur, but I'm thinking for V, it's probably going to be like a vermouth is never is it the main ingredient in a lot of cocktails? I feel like that's like a supplementary ingredient, like vermouth, usually put like pickle, orange, a half an ounce cranberry. In it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
Oh, that's nothing.
Orange cranberry.
Vermouth, pickle, orange cranberry. That's nothing.
Pickle.
Oh.
I don't want that cocktail.
Jesus Christ.
I don't want that cocktail.
We need to make this cocktail now just to give it a fair shot. It's not going to be good, but.
Okay. You know, this orange cranberry thing, though. Maybe it's a beach drink. Vodka, pineapple, orange cranberry. Maybe it's like a, not a rum runner. That would have rum in it. sex on the beach,
like, vodka runner.
Or can it really be a fuzzy navel?
Can it really
see it
be
being one of those
vermouth runner?
Can it really be a cocktail with only one alcohol in it, and then just throw in a bunch of
fruit, I think so. Fruit juice? I think that's fine.
Would you still consider that a cocktail?
Yeah, I think you can do a cocktail with just one alcohol ingredient, because it's a mixed drink.
Doesn't
and they have non-alcohol cocktails with no alcohol in it, so
true.
You just need one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking fuzzy navel. I don't know what is, or a screwdriver maybe?
A screwdriver
that's
is
less ingredients,
orange juice and vodka.
Yep. So this has maybe two other things. You just need the name of the drink, right? We don't even need to know the ingredients.
Mark.
I just need the name of the cocktail.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'll defer to you guys.
Yeah, fuzzy navel sounds good.
Or sex on the beach. Do you guys know what's in that?
I know
it's a funny
They all
name.
Have to be so similar,
Sand
right?
Sand everywhere.
Indeed. Let's do sex on the beach. There's four ingredients. That's a lot of ingredients.
All right.
Know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Sex on the beach.
That's correct.
Hey! Thanks, buddy. You brought
for
those
vodka.
Yep.
Great job.
P for peach schnapps.
Ah.
O for orange juice. C for cranberry.
Ah.
Nice. Okay, sweet.
Very so pretty older chick.
Okay, and it kind of fits the
that's
yeah,
a lot
it's
of mnemonics
themed name.
A lot of mnemonics they try to do that. They try and make it into something. I guess outside of my very educated mother just served us nachos,
right?
Being about the planets,
nine pizzas.
Our very educated mother just served us planets.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I have
and an strong
appetizers question for you guys. Which popular appetizer in Southern cuisine has its roots in ancient Rome, where it was the traditional first course.
A southern appetizer.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when I hear southern appetizer is fried green tomatoes.
Mm.
They are distinctly southern.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any other southern appetizer, really, outside of maybe... See, some stuff I don't know if it's southern or not, like haystacks,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Mm-hmm. Bloomin' Onion, Australian,
Australian, yeah.
That's really far south.
That is very south, yeah.
I guess, are we talking southern United States or southern world?
Southern United States, not southern hemisphere.
Fried okra?
Ooh. But its name being... Its name being taken from, what was it?
Can I get the question one more time?
Yes. Which popular appetizer in southern cuisine has its roots Rome,
okay.
where it was the traditional first course?
What'd you say?
What I say?
Yeah.
Okra.
Okra is a good one. I went immediately to like deviled eggs.
Mm.
But I don't know if that's going to be... I'm just imagining like some like Roman god like mashing up egg and like a mortar and pestle.
I don't know.
Zeus's eggs.
Yeah. I feel like that might be too advanced.
There you
go. Mm-hmm.
For back then, maybe.
Wrong one.
I think the fried green tomatoes. Did they have mayo
back then?
They should not.
I'm wondering if even fried green tomatoes might be too.
Where did tomatoes originate?
Well, but the question, too, is, like, rooted. So it could even be that, you know, serving, like, sliced tomatoes was an appetizer.
Yeah. I started thinking charcuterie, but that's not a southern thing, is it?
It is now.
Because, I mean, like, charcuterie would be, like...
Snack dinner! Snack dinner during quarantine! Snack dinner!
Yes!
Well, olives being part of it
mm-hmm.
would make sense. Because it seems like kind of a Roman... Cut up fucking Italian meats.
I don't think a charcuterie is inherently southern, though.
Yeah.
Although I will say, as a side note on that, that I think Lee and Kyle's quarantine charcuteries have really inspired me to Thank be obsessed you. Yeah. with them.
I feel like we mastered charcuterie over quarantine.
They looked great.
Thanks.
I think the fried green tomatoes, it's okra is another good one, but I think I would lean more toward fried green tomatoes.
I could go either way.
Well, we know tomatoes are big around that area. I don't know if okra is big around Rome,
mm-hmm.
but tomatoes, I mean, I don't know if you guys have heard of Italian food.
Italian food. Okay. Yeah.
We're going to say fried green tomatoes.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. The correct answer is deviled eggs.
What?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, what the fuck?
Yep. The term deviled egg comes from an 18th century culinary term that the Oxford Dictionary originally used to describe a fried or boiled dish that was highly seasoned. Eventually, this included sauces as well. And boiled eggs seasoned with spicy sauces were served in Rome so commonly that they had a saying for it, ab ova usque ad mala. Meaning from eggs to apples, or from the beginning of a meal to the end of a meal, because I guess you would have apples for dessert.
Huh. It's your turn.
All right. Bill English and Douglas Engelbart are credited with building the first piece of computer technology?
English and Engelbart?
English and Engelbart.
The E machine.
You didn't say when.
The E machine.
I did not.
I think I asked this question recently.
With their names. Yeah.
I think I asked something close to this. Is this not the guy who, the people who invented the first mouse?
Was that a duo?
Well, I mentioned one of them in particular, but there was another guy that had.
It's never just one guy.
Play. Yeah, of course.
There's always.
Come on.
Multiple guys. A background guy, and you have the Mank and the Wells.
Yeah. to draw from that movie, the motion picture you watched?
Mank. Have you guys seen Mank?
I have not.
With Gary Oldman?
No.
And Gary Oldman. Seyfried. It was pretty good. It's no Minari, though. That is my pick so far. I've seen Nomadland, Mank, and Minari of the best pictures. And so far, I'm giving it to Minari. Side note. Anyway.
Still early.
Yeah, and I still got a ton of movies. I got to see The Seven Bloods, Chicago 7. Seven? Wait.
Seven Crips.
Wait, how many Seven movies are there?
That's probably a lot.
I'm mixing them up.
Seven's a good number because you can have a tiebreaker.
Seven Deadly Sins. Lucky number 7.
Seven.
Seven.
the movie Seven N.
You guys remember that movie Lucky Number 11? Did that title piss you guys off as much as
it was annoying?
It's so the worst.
No, Josh Hartnett. Was clever.
Oh, okay, all right, fair enough. 3 out of 4 movie watchers agree.
I think it's Mouse.
Well, if you think that you had a question about this recently, and I do vaguely remember this question, but I don't remember the names.
I think it is.
Okay. I mean, I have no other educated guess. I could name a bunch of different hardware
Fletcher, parts. Fletcher, we're going to say Mouse.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yay.
Nice. All right.
What was the original name for it? Do you have that there?
I do not.
The question I asked was not, did this person invent it? Oh, it was, okay. It was this person invented something that was originally called the XY axis something something.
Yeah. Because it is. Yeah. Using an XY axis.
And I think
the positionator.
Yeah. Let me see if I can't mouse.
Hey, it looks like a little mouse.
Dead mouse.
It's cute.
What is the common name for the XY position indicator for a display system invented in 1963 by Douglas Engelbart?
Yep. That sounds like how sci-fi novels are written. Like, he picked up the XY place, what was it?
Display. XY position
indicator. Well, and he moved it to the right and selected the application by which he would compute his... Well, numerics.
Well, now I feel like I shortchanged you guys with a softball question.
Oh,
well,
sorry. No, this is question number one. He didn't know.
Yeah.
And she didn't know. And I only knew because I've asked thousands of questions in my life.
We're just getting started here. This is question one.
All right, little lady.
I like it. All right.
We're ready for you. The doctor will see you now.
Oh, that wasn't a long wait at all. Cool. Sweet.
Finally.
Who wrote such children's books as A Chocolate Mousse for Dinner and Pond Larker?
A Chocolate Mousse for Dinner and Pond Larker?
Yes.
Not familiar with these.
Neither am I.
Uh-oh.
So there's Fletcher two ways, I mean, there's two knows. Ways of looking at this. One is it could be books that she perceives as being so popular, she's just asking who wrote it. Mm-hmm. Like, who wrote Great Expectations?
Yeah.
Or, this is going to be an interesting answer. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, you know, Lady Gaga or something, where it's like, did you know? Did you hear that she wrote these books?
Right. Or, in reference to recent events, because, was it Judy Blume?
I think Beverly.
Beverly Cleary. Beverly Cleary just passed away.
Yeah, at 104.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
I don't recognize
not mentioning those. Any Ramona Flowers. Well, that would be the
that'd be a giveaway.
The interesting thing is that if she said, "Who wrote fucking you know what was her sister's name? Bezos?
Ramona and Bezos?
You know, it'd be like, oh well, of course I know that. But asking these like off the side, you know, it'd be like asking two Dr. Seuss books that he wrote before he was Dr. Seuss. You know what I mean?
The lesser known works.
The more racist ones.
Yeah.
Oof.
The pre-star-bellied Sneetch era of Dr. Seuss.
Pre-Lorax.
Sneetches, though, those were the anti-discriminatory characters, basically.
Without a doubt.
The whole setup was, you know, you have the ones with the stars on their belly and the ones that don't.
The haves and have-nots.
Mm-hmm. And the ones that don't have the stars can get the stars. So the ones that have the stars don't want the stars. So they all pay this guy, this grifter, basically, to de-apply and apply stars. And then he just leaves town with all their money.
Jesus.
Yep. So.
That's why I don't want to pay taxes. Hands off my money.
I could give
you a private hint. Business, Mark. It's all private capitalism, baby.
And clarify which category it falls into, if that would help.
Sure.
So, it falls into more being an interesting answer, I thought.
So, like a celebrity or non-typical author.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Or an author that usually writes something like Stephen King. Clive Cussler.
A chocolate. Yeah, Chuck Tingle.
Clive yes. Barker.
Yeah, Clive Barker.
Rammed in the butt by a chocolate mousse.
Oh, no.
That's Chuck Tingle. That's the Tingle.
Oh, I love the continually recursive ones.
Yeah.
Like, what are those? The pounded in the butt.
A butt pounded by a butt pounding in the butt.
Yes.
Madonna. Did Madonna write children's books? I feel like Cher, Madonna.
Could have been.
B.J. Novak has written children's books.
I was thinking B.J. Novak.
But that's not one. I mean, maybe that is.
What are the names of the books again?
Bo Burnham? Has he done anything?
A Chocolate Mousse for Dinner. And Pond Larker.
Pond Larker.
Do we know when?
One of those sounds so silly and the other one sounds so serene and serious.
Neil Young.
It's like, how to eat a mousse for dinner or chocolate mousse for dinner or whatever. Sounds like one of those, like, tongue-in-cheek, funny, silly stories.
If you give a mouse a cookie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You lead
and
to
then
the...
Pond Larker sounds like it's, like, a 32-year-old woman on a boat and the intense relationship she has with a bird floating on the lake. Like, over 150 pages.
On Golden
like
Pond.
Super sickly, like, super serious. Like, and what is it to love?
It's the sequel to Hatchet.
Oh, this is my novel, Pond Larker. Pond Larker.
Yeah.
Who should I make this? Who should I rate this to?
All right. So she gave us the hint of it's an interesting answer, not a, a typical children's author.
Barack Obama.
Hmm.
That's not
the first. The first president to have his own beer brewed in the White House.
Yeah.
The White House Honey Ale.
How much do you get a four-pack of that, huh?
They got to have, you know, hobbies after they're out of office. You know, W is doing, you know, silly
little paintings. He hasn't been doing any. Michelle's been the one that's been doing.
George W. Bush is a good guess.
Hmm. He's been painting, though.
That's what I said.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe he's having his Renaissance time.
I just
How
feel
long
like
does it take to write a fucking children's book?
I don't know.
I mean, no offense to people who write children's books, but, like, is it a fart?
How long did it take to write The Hobbit? You think that was just a weekend activity, Mark?
It's not really a children's book.
I believe The Hobbit is a children's book.
Is a children's book, yes.
Well, I mean, I don't know about a children's, like a young adult's. Not like, I'm thinking like four-year-old.
You're
like
thinking a picture
something
book.
You read to kids.
The Hobbit is a kid's book.
It is a kid's book.
It's not a young adult book. It was written for children.
That's I mean, bizarre. Nothing called Pond Larker is for four-year-olds.
No, that's true.
Come here, son. We're going to read Pond Larker tonight. George Washington. Pond Larker. I mean, come on. That sounds like old timey.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Abe Lincoln.
Oh, I just got the pun with the chocolate mousse.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I was thinking like an Easter bunny, like a
Ralph
chocolate
Waldo
Easter bunny.
Emerson. But... Thinking of like mousses.
That's like a northern North America, Canada, you know.
They're
Pacific,
in Maine.
Pacific Northwest, yeah. Emerson, New England, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where moose are.
I'm just shoring out the facts. I'm not doubting you. I'm just.
Who's the other one? Ralph Waldo Emerson and David Thoreau.
Henry David Thoreau.
I knew I was missing something.
Hank Davy.
What if it's a dude who wrote Fight Club?
Chuck Palahniuk.
Chuck Palahniuk.
Hmm.
Make Pond Larker sound a little more in line as a title.
I have no idea. I'm lost out here with this question.
I am pretty far in the weeds here.
I think we should go with Stephen King. My gut says Stephen King.
Sure. I'm down.
What do you think?
I got nothing better.
We're going to say Stephen King.
Stephen King is incorrect. Motherfucker!
Yeah. That's right, Kyle.
So I thought that this was really interesting because the author is better known as Herman Munster.
Oh.
Actor guy.
Actor guy, Fred.
Actor man, yeah, Fred Gwynn.
Fred Gwynn.
Oh.
Damn.
Herman Munster.
Writing them fucking good-ass kids' books.
Right. All right.
Wait, what's Podlarker? Is it a kid's book?
Yeah, they were all children's books.
Seems like you should get like Ed Gorey to illustrate that. There could be, I don't know if they were alive at the same time or not, but.
Apparently he did, he wrote and illustrated them.
Oh, nice.
The books that he wrote, he illustrated them. I just thought that was really crazy.
Yeah.
It is.
Interesting.
Frank Gwynn, right?
Yes.
Fred Gwynn.
Fred Gwynn.
Mm-hmm. Here's your next question. The movie Hard Target. You familiar?
Yeah, they just covered this on Doubled Feature on the podcast, actually.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh.
A Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Right. And also, we will talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme in Street Fighter on the next episode of Doubled Feature, starring yours truly.
Then I feel like I should ask another question because I think you're going to know
this. Well, let me tell you this. I did not listen to that episode, and I've never seen Hard Target. So if you want to ask it, all right, well, we'll
see. We'll see what happens. The movie Hard Target, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, was the U.S. directorial debut of who?
I do know this. I do actually know this.
Is it John
It wasn't
Woo?
Too ingrained in yes. the movie.
Okay.
It's That's John Woo because they had to have Sam Raimi on set to shadow him and make sure that he was,
delivering.
I guess they were skeptical as to whether or not there would be a language barrier and that would impact the performances. And that's why Ted Raimi shows up in the movie. It's John Woo, right?
That's correct.
Did they not ask this on the podcast when they were on 2 weeks ago?
Did they?
I think they did. Well, no, they had a slightly different question. Their question was, what famous director was on set to make sure that...
Oh.
Yeah. So give me another one. I want another one. That's okay, too close.
Here's
That's
another one.
Demand a refund on this question.
Because I have not listened to their episode and I've not seen the movie. So, and I know that.
What Asian capital city's name literally translates to capital city?
Mm.
Is that more like it?
Yes. Okay. Bangkok?
My knee-jerk reaction is China.
Yeah.
Because I could see that just, flat out literalism coming from them. But now I'm blanking out what their actual capital is.
Right. I keep wanting to think Hong Kong, but that's not.
Oh, no way, shape, or form is Hong Kong their capital.
Mm-hmm. And we're Beijing. Now banned in China.
Is Beijing? Is it the official? Because they have one that's the historical capital and the actual capital, which they've recently moved to that, like built it as an intended new capital city. Pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which it falls under then.
DMX apparently overdosed last night and is in very bad condition.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. Peace to him. Tokyo.
I know, I'm pretty sure it's not Tokyo. Pretty sure. Mm-hmm.
So what other capital cities do we have?
Seoul.
Oh, we have Manila.
Pyongyang. I don't know what the capital of Laos is.
What about Vietnam?
I was just thinking, what is
the capital of Vietnam? It's not Ho Chi Minh City. It's whatever they change it to after that.
Yeah. Right?
Could it be Russia? It's like a transcontinental country. Moscow?
I don't think he would have he would have asked the question the way he did if it was Russia.
Yeah. Beijing, I like the idea there behind that, even though I get what you're saying about, the historic city, and maybe it is that other city.
And I can't recall which one is which. I'm good with Beijing.
Let's do it. Beijing.
So it's incorrect. The capital of, you guys were talking a little bit about the capital of Vietnam, Hanoi.
Hanoi
is the capital of the capital of Vietnam. You guys did gloss over the correct answer. The correct answer is Soul.
Really?
Okay. Soul, yes.
Okay.
Literally translates straight up to Capital City.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I have a 90s music question for my second question for you guys this round. Mm. What 1998 hit R&B duet was the first number one hit for each singer and was thematically inspired by a 1982 duet? And I'll leave it there, but I'll give you the artists. If you guys are, I want to see you suss on this one. What 1998 hit R&B duet was the first number one hit for each singer and was thematically inspired by a 1982 duet?
My gut instinct on this is Brandy and Monica's The Boy Is Mine.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but I think the 1982 duet was Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney. That's the first place my mind went. It's
very
weird.
Interesting.
It's very weird. I don't know why. I'm probably wrong on that part, but I feel pretty strongly.
I also went to Brandy, though. Brandy and Monica was my... I mean, what are we looking at in 1998?
Yeah, Brandy and Monica. I mean, unless I was thinking a male-female duet, but that makes a lot of sense. What was the name of the Paul McCartney
Michael
Jackson tune?
No, I cannot recall.
I think it's called The Girl Is Mine.
Okay, I think so.
Are we doing this? Are we going with Brandy and Monica? Are we doing this?
Are we doing this, guys?
I think we are.
Guys, we're going to do this. We're going to say Brandy and Monica.
That is correct.
Yes.
That is exactly what I was talking about right there. Fletcher, Boom. God.
Fletcher Amazing. Coming in with... See, this is a perfect example. Fletcher does not listen to R&B. At all. This motherfucker just pulled out the entire...
You heard this song.
He pulled out the whole connection. That song
was inescapable that year. I don't remember that being 98. I just remember when it came out, it was inescapable. You could not get away from it anywhere.
Well, it was crafted by 5 songwriters and 3 producers, that one song. Brandy originally had the idea for the song after watching a Love Triangle episode of the Jerry Springer Show. she recorded it herself, but thought a duet would work better given the subject matter, and sought out Monica, who she had met at various industry events. They ended up recording together after Clive Davis kind of gave the okay because they were on 2 separate labels. And I guess they didn't like the first version, and Monica left and recorded it somewhere else. And after a little bit more patchwork, they got the song together, shot a video starring Mekhi Phifer. And as I said, it was both singers' first number one hit. Unfortunately, they didn't like to hang out too much afterwards. Monica just said they just didn't vibe. It wasn't like jealousy or envy or something, which to me indicates it was jealousy and envy.
Oh, obviously.
But
I'll tell you what this specifically is not. It is not jealousy. And P.S., it's not envy either. Yeah. Just 2 things I want you to definitely know it's not.
Now, there is another interesting connection this song has with Paul McCartney. It became the 2nd song in history to the Billboard charts to ascend directly to number 1 from a previous position beneath the top 20. It went from 23 to number 1 in 1 week. The Beatles' Can't Buy Me Love went from 27 to number 1 in 1964.
Interesting.
So, kind of a interesting coincidence duality type thing going on there.
That's a deep cut, Lee.
Yeah, the Brandy McCartney connection.
Speaking of cut,
you
want to cut this loose here for a second so we can take a quick break?
Yeah, is that 2 from each of us? Or
that's 2 from
that's you. Right. Okay.
Come on. Do you remember the show? Episode 144?
I'm getting the hang of it.
there's a really famous quote, I think, from a famous cello player, and they said, "Why do you still practice?" And he goes, "Because I think I'm starting to actually get good." It's the perfect, he's 80 years old. You're master musician at his instrument.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I'm doing practice? Here. I'm practicing.
Hey, just starting to get good.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break.
Let's do it. And then we'll be back with some no notes in round 2. right, we're back, and it's time for some no notes. Oh, yeah. We want to thank everybody who wrote in and commented about our little April Fool's gag that we played on you.
Very cute.
Yes, we want to send a big congratulations to our hosts, Elliot, Amelia, and Wilson, who took over our podcast on April Fool's Day this year. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And thanks to Matthew and Elise and Kenya and John Feeblecorn, Fro, Eric, for writing in and letting us know, and many others who wrote us and to let us know how much they liked it. And we even got Manu. Manu said he hadn't tuned in a couple episodes and was like, what is going on here?
I got God.
Yeah. So thanks, Manu. And thanks, everybody, for checking that out and sending in your notes that we passed along to our hosts. We also got an email from Evan Tishik about bird etymology, which is something that's come up on our podcast somewhat regularly lately, Struthio, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he sent us a link to this YouTube video, and he was like, tons of crossover here. It's almost like this guy has been listening to your podcast and then made the video. And I checked out the video, and it's very interesting. I'm going to put a link in the episode description. I don't think he based it on our podcast. I think this guy is like super, super well read and just loves talking about where bird names come from. But if you like those kinds of questions, check out that video. He's got a whole channel. We'll put the link to that in the show notes. And if you'd like to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. Or find us on social media.
You know, I on my way here, I was listening to an episode of a podcast where they started talking about 69ing.
Nice.
And like where they stand on it. And it was very much like the post that I made on Facebook.
And, okay. Yeah. Controversial sex.
They had kind of like a back and forth on like, you know, like whether or not like.
Is it too difficult? Is it easy? Can you enjoy it when you're working that hard?
Well, one of them specifically said, why get 60% doing two things when you can get 100% doing one thing? And I was like, I'm like in first watch with a headset and going, exactly. exactly my point. Yes. And yeah, it was funny. It was a funny moment.
I have a dinosaurs question to kick off round two for you guys.
The TV show?
No, okay. Not again. I know we just have a rest in peace, Jessica Walter.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. But no, this is the creature, the dinosaur, the extinct creature.
Yes.
Regaliceratops Peter Husey, a new species of dinosaur discovered in 2015, was nicknamed after which comic book character due to its features as well as its difficulty in excavation. Regaliceratops Peter Husey, a new species of dinosaur discovered in 2015, was nicknamed after which comic book character due to its features and its difficulty in excavation?
Husey sounds like the new Thrussey.
Oh, no.
I think that's the last name of the scientist that excavated this.
That's what I would have expected.
Regaliceratops.
Okay, so it's a relative from that. It's clearly closely related to the Triceratops family. So it's got frilled neck bone thing and horns.
Some number of horns. And it's difficulty to excavate.
What would have made it so difficult?
Regaliceratops.
The condition of the bones, the conditions of the dig site itself, the makeup of the soil they were removing it from.
Do any of those kind of... I'm thinking you can attack it from the comic.
The name, you said, was from the features. Features and difficulty to excavate?
That's right.
Okay.
Now, the name that you're asking about is a name that is not the Regaliceratops Peter Husey,
No, right? It's named after which comic book character.
But you're talking about that name in particular?
Well, that's the scientific name, and then the nickname, more common name. Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm asking. You're not talking about the name that you're saying. That's not attached to the comic book character.
No. Okay. Right. No. No association.
Because I was like, Regaliceratops, maybe it's Black Panther because he's a prince and then a king, like regal. But I, so this thing is called Another Thing, and that thing is named after the comic book character.
Right. Based on its features as well as the difficulty in excavation.
Comic book characters that are underground, hard to get out of the ground with horns.
Bebop and Rocksteady. Bebopasaurus.
Okay, this is, I'm going to get really
Rocksteady
nitty on that. I'm not sure if Bebop and Rocksteady were created in the Ninja Turtles comics first or the cartoon first.
Yeah.
So.
What about like Cyclops?
Did the dinosaur only have one eye?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the wrong comic book character.
Huh.
That's embarrassing. Haven't learned anything the past couple of years.
Fletcher just identified 10 moments in your life where you tuned out entirely.
Yep. I try Cyclops. To listen to that stuff. It's no. usually the wow stuff that kind of, he's are you still in?
I try to come at it simply enough with her and then not throw too much at her. And when she has that look on her face of just too much, I try to shut
the eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
All right, so the character I was thinking of when I said Cyclops was the Thing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Character.
Okay.
That is a different character.
Different character entirely. I don't know why I always want to. I always do that. I just in my head I think rocks and
the Thing. No, that's a good conclusion. I think I'm too far from this.
What about Wolverine?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of the it was hard to excavate. Like, yeah. Wolverine would be good in that he's so stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's going yeah. from that angle. Can we hear the question one more time?
Regaliceratops Peter Husey, a new species of dinosaur discovered in 2015, was nicknamed after which comic book character? Due to its features and difficulty in excavation.
Okay. So here's what I'm thinking. Is it more likely to be a more well-known, more mainstream comic book character? Or because the scientists, the paleontologists, are all a bunch of nerds, are they more likely to have picked a more obscure comic book character?
Well, especially him knowing that you and I both know comic books.
Yeah.
I will say, I'll amend this to answer your question, well-known comic book character.
Okay.
Mm.
I don't think it would really pick up as much steam, you know, like...
If it was like...
Story-wise, if it were...
Husk a very, from Generation yeah. X.
But we're this ambush is, bug.
Right. This is also recent, so it, there's a chance that it may be based off of, like, someone from the MCU, someone who's, like, hot exactly. right now.
That's what I'm thinking, more mainstream, more well-known now.
You know,
so this was what, 2015?
So this was before Recently. Black Panther had come out.
Oh, did you say the year?
Yeah, 2015.
Mm-hmm. Black okay. Panther was, what was that, 2017,
2018? 2018.
That sounds right.
I mean, because Regaliceratops, Regal, King, Black Panther being King. You know, the little cat ear horn things, but no.
T'Challa? T'Challasaurus?
But if it's before that, maybe less well known.
Well, there was still a lot of talk about Black Panther then.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that it would be like, you know, fucking Steve Rogersaurus.
No.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's going to be the character's name. It's going to be...
Well, it's kind of what I'm saying is that even like Spider-Man Saurus or,
yeah.
you know, like the thing about like T'Challa is that it's his non, you know, superhero name. But it also sounds not like Bruce Bannersaurus or, you know, Iron Mansaurus.
Yeah.
It rolls off the tongue better is what you're saying. You don't have to add the dinosaur surname on the I'm just looking for the comic book character.
Well, but I'm thinking if the if the dinosaur is named after it, it's going to sound not stupid. Even if we don't have to have the dinosaur name, like, we get a thing of what character would have a name that would.
So basically, Regaliceratops is the name that I think you're trying to think of right now. This nickname is just the comic book character name. It's not modified at all.
He just wants the comic book character.
Oh,
yeah. So it doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just like, he's the Hulk. We found the Hulk. Like, it's just like a giant, like, green.
The Hulk of dinosaurs.
Something like that.
Got it. Okay. Well, shit.
Wolverine sounds better than anything else yet from the stubbornness. Better than anything else I can.
And the way it looks, like claws.
Claws and Wolverine's hair, the way that his hair is distinctly. I don't know.
Yeah, if they actually get some, like, hair.
If that flare that, you know, Ceratopses have is kind of somewhat similar to Wolverine's pointy and then squared off kind of.
Always popular.
Yeah.
The kids love the Wolverine. You want to say Wolverine?
I'm down with Wolverine. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to say Wolverine.
No. I'm sorry.
Dang it.
You're barking up the right tree earlier with the horns. Hellboy is the answer. Hellboy.
Okay.
And his bones were like, the bones of the dinosaur were really inset with the rock, so it's hard to separate them.
Mm.
Found in Alberta by Peter Husey.
Well, and Canada. That's Canada. Where our boy Wolverine is from.
Yeah.
But not the right answer.
No. All right. Here is your next question.
Were we not going clockwise?
We always do this. We always confuse it.
We can go clockwise again. Or counterclockwise. What do you want to do? Mark's ready.
I think the way it always goes is me, you, sandwich, me, you, and then you, me, sandwich, you, me. So it always ends with the one of the two of us, and they're always in the middle.
I'm always down for sandwiches. All right, Mark, get laid on us.
Okay.
Sorry, guest.
You're gonna get all these. Man, you're gonna answer all
these. Ask me another double featured question so I can promote the episode with Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat starring yours truly.
I'll ask you this. How many months are there in the Ethiopian and Egyptian Coptic calendars?
Coptic calendar.
Coptic. I've heard that term.
So these are old calendars.
Mm-hmm.
Old, yeah.
Maybe the
possibly
first still used calendars.
Egyptians, paper, papyrus. Yeah, they could be some of the first in the world. But then I imagine a lot of different disconnected cultures and societies likely crafted their own at different times. So it'd be really hard to say definitively.
Right. Well, we know that the current one, the Gregorian,
mm-hmm.
introduced by Pope Gregor.
Pope Gregor.
I like to call him Gregor Clegane.
Gregor
just Clegane. Came up and said, yo, all your calendars are bad. Use this one.
Yep. And that's no, that's not where April Fool's came from. That was a different calendar thing when they switched over. Wait, the Gregorian, is that the one we use right now?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was established in like the 1500s.
Okay.
Okay.
So calendar. I'm thinking less than 12.
Yes.
They're just adding months like August for Augustus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not some shit before that.
I jumped to July, eight months Julius. Immediately.
Eight was circling in my head.
Like, okay. It seems short enough that it, you know, like shorter than the current calendar, but long enough that they're like, yeah, this is a year. This is a good year. We can start it over. Yeah.
2 months per season. I like it.
Seasons don't work that way.
No, but I mean, maybe yeah. You're just dividing up the time, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it. I'm sure their calendar was very different than ours.
It's the time.
They could have looked at each season as being its own year. In that regard, their calendars could have been about 3 months a year.
Oh, man. Interesting. A season a year? Is this where, like, the long winter from Game of Thrones came from? Like,
yeah.
Mm.
Or the long night?
I mean, roughly based on seasons. I mean,
shit is changing. It's a new year. Yeah. All right. I guess we're in a new year now. It's a very dramatic change. Got to be a new year. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's, I don't know. That's still like going with three is like, you know, divising by 12 for each to keep like the 12 overall.
Yeah.
So maybe they had different weeks, number of weeks, 10 weeks.
Yeah. I mean,
and each week is a month.
Just trying to figure out like what sort of demarcation would they have had in between each year? Like what would, what seems like a natural break point for each year?
Well, there is a cycle, you know, I don't know that they would think that each season was its own year, but you could be like, oh yeah, this feels like it was last about a year ago, you know? After like the fourth or fifth year, you're like, all right, I can tell there's going to be another cold part coming up now. I remember this pattern. I feel good about eight.
Eight sounds pretty good.
It's less than we have, but it's substantial enough that you could actually tell things with the divisions. You know, you could have different segments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eight. All right.
Eight is our guess.
That's incorrect. 13.
What?
Is the correct answer, yes.
Baker's dozen.
13.
Man.
What was the 13th month? Well, I guess they all probably had different.
March.
Huh? I was going to say, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised to know that they don't have the same names as us. They just have one that's a combination. Disanuary. Oh, I don't know what the name is. I just know it's 13.
All right. Interesting.
Cool.
Kristen.
All right. Bringing it in.
Ask my lady. Ask my lady.
Shifty Shell Shock.
No. Disallowed.
So fast.
Disqualified.
What is the name of Frida Kahlo's first self-portrait? And I'll clarify to say it's the full name because her self-portraits were self-portrait in blank.
Okay. So we're looking for a self-portrait in blank, right? That's the format?
Mm-hmm.
Could be a color, self-portrait in red, like she's wearing red clothing and there's red behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Self-portrait in...
Are we just going to literally guess all the
where
colors?
Where could you be in? No, I wasn't even... I'm just saying, it could be a color.
Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Could be a place.
What if it was some kind of joke she played?
Could be a season.
In Frida garden? Kahlo intense. And she was making... She was furrowing her brow, but she was also in a teepee.
It could be season, Frida Kahlo in summer.
Mm-hmm. She walks like summer and talks like June. Is that it?
She talks like rain.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She and talks like talks like winter and walks like rain. I don't know. Who fucking cares?
Hey, so tell me.
I think color is right.
You think it's going to be a color?
I think it might be Frida Kahlo in yellow.
In yellow.
That sounds right to me for
it
some reason.
It doesn't it? I don't know why it does.
So more of a Coldplay thing than a train thing.
I think that's where Coldplay got the song came from. Look at this. Look at Frida Kahlo. Look how she paints for you.
I feel like you should go Kahlo.
And she was Frida Kahlo.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, we can just guess. I mean, you know.
Yellow, you feel good about that? Like,
well, I you're fucking degrading
I can't
it.
Tell.
You feel good about
I that. Can't tell it's when you're color. Throwing out a joke or if you're
no,
if you're
it's, I said it and he said it sounds right to me. I don't know why it sounds right. But
so it's just a gut thing. It's not
I mean, I feel like she wears a lot of yellow, before. Maybe. I mean, it could be fucking, could be literally any of like 9 or 10 pretty, you know, normal colors. Black, white, purple, pink, fuchsia. Yellow, orange,
in utero. It could be something like that. It
could be clever like that.
Like, not in utero. Not like the Nirvana album. But like
in utero. But not in utero.
No, but I mean like in a state.
Yeah, I mean, it could be in anything, whether it's a color or a fucking building or a state. Like, it could be Frida Kahlo in Mexico.
She's hip. She's happening.
She's cool. She's what's up?
Frida Kahlo in the DMV.
Frida Kahlo in the DMs. What you wearing? Show me Bob's and Vagine.
All right, I guess in yellow.
We're going to say in yellow.
In yellow is incorrect.
In yellow, incorrect. Ooh, what if it was Frida Kahlo incorrect?
It is a self-portrait in a velvet dress.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So describing the article of clothing.
I can picture the painting, I think.
She she painted it to try to get her lover back. But the yellow I thought was really interesting. So this was done, I forget the year that it said, but it was sometime in, I think, the late 1920s.
2020.
Yes. But, later on, a lot of her pieces had a lot more, warm colors. So she did have, a lot of yellow in, her later stuff. But
I knew I'd seen her, with yellow shit going on. That's why yellow kind of jumped out at me, I guess.
Big Coldplay fan.
Yeah, loves Coldplay. Yeah. And Yellow Ledbetter, the hit song by Pearl Jam.
Oh, fantastic. A+.
Mr. Fletch?
Hi.
Hi.
Within, this is a geography question.
Oh, we're here.
Yeah. I was going to save it for last, but I'm throwing it out now. Within which country can two other independent countries be found?
South Africa? No. There's just one in South Africa, right?
I think so.
There is another.
My first thought is Italy. Mm-hmm. But all I can think of is the Vatican.
Yeah, but I think there is another one. At least that's our fallback guess, because that's the only other one I can think of. I know that South Africa has another country inside of it, like a donut. And then there's Vatican City, and I think there is another one in Italy. Mark, does that sound right? Confirm my bias.
It's one of these two. It's one of them.
I don't think it's South Africa. I think South Africa's just got one.
I'm going to say the thing about South Africa, though, is I feel like the rules are a lot more do whatever you want in Africa than they are in Italy. In South Africa than they are in Italy. I have a feeling.
Not anymore. I think they got rid of that.
Well, the memory remains. I feel like it's one of the two of these.
Countries. Why are you introducing doubt into my mind? I think it's Italy, but now is it South Africa?
I have doubt.
There is at least one in South Africa. I know that. I have
such doubt.
These are good two different answers that we have.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards Italy, though.
I think we should go Italy.
Okay, let's go Italy.
That is correct.
Hey! Yeah! There we go.
Nice. Do you want to hazard a guess at what the two countries?
Well, one of them is the Vatican City.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Sardines? Is that an island? No.
Sardinia?
No. It's not that.
Is it an island?
Could it be Sicily?
I don't think so.
Sicily is just a city.
Well, I was just thinking
coastal. I think it's inland, too. I don't know. Tell us.
It is the Vatican City.
Yeah.
And San Marino.
San Marino.
San Marino.
Okay.
And Sicily is an island.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, I knew Sicily was an island. And I guess because of that whole, Sicilians are very particular about being Sicilian, not Italian. I was thinking that maybe somewhere in there, someone made, a little escape plan, a little escape hatch to be right. Their own country.
But your question, you were referring to landlocked interior country, right? Not an island.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Okay. My last question for you guys, 80s cartoons, the category. What 80s musical cartoon featured characters with surnames borrowed from real life physicists Stephen Benton, Emmett Leith, and Dennis Gabor. What 80s musical cartoon featured characters with surnames borrowed from real life physicists Stephen Benton, Emmett Leith, and Dennis Gabor?
Josie and the Pussycats? Or that's 70s, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Musical cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
Musical cartoon.
Do you guys remember Shirt Tales? Any Shirt Tales fans in the house?
That sounds vaguely familiar.
There was all these animal, like, anthropomorphic animals that would wear shirts. My shirts had little tags on them.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
I don't know why I just thought of that. Musical cartoon.
Leaf, Gabor, Benton. Musical.
What year? 19? Did you give a year?
I think it's just at 80s.
Just 80s.
80s.
I keep thinking of stuff from like the 90s.
Musical.
I'm trying to think of musical cartoons. 80s. Fraggle Rock isn't a.
No.
And they don't have last names.
No.
I don't think.
What would really classify it as a musical cartoon?
Are you just saying it's a cartoon that uses a lot of music, or is it actually?
There's songs in it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
It's part of like every episode, there's a song.
Did Muppet Babies have? No.
I also thought Muppet Babies, but I didn't.
I don't, those names don't draw any connections to Muppet Babies for me.
Yeah, because they're all just baby versions of the Muppet.
Exactly.
And then there's the nanny.
Mm-hmm.
It's where my striped socks fetish come from.
The nanny on Muppet Babies. I love it when they whisper sweet nothings in my ear.
No, you're thinking of Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Nanny had a voice.
Nanny had a voice, yeah.
What are some like
Muppet Babies, make your dreams come true. Muppet Babies come true. All 50s.
Oh, we get to so witness Mark's mental breakdown. This is
slow and steady. Musical cartoon. '80s. I keep thinking, like, I was thinking of Schoolhouse Rock, but that's 70s.
Older, yeah. I keep thinking Cop Rock, 80s musicals, but that wasn't a cartoon.
No, it was cartoonish.
Cartoonish, yes.
Musical cartoon. Shit, man.
I mean, what are some cartoons you guys remember, like, watching?
What was...
In the 80s, there was a Ghostbusters cartoon. There was
a musical.
Mask.
There not was, a musical. I mean, if you're talking the whole cartoons that are just half-hour commercials for the toys, you know, Mask, Transformers, He-Man, G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
Thundercats, Voltron. Yeah, I wanted to say both at the same
name.
Time.
G.I. Joe is a good band name.
He-Hi-Ho.
Visionaries. There's so many.
Gargoyles.
Different. That was the 90s, and that was very different.
Don't mess with his gargoyles.
don't even go there.
That had Keith David, not Emmett Leith.
Correct.
Leith.
Leith, not Keith.
Leith. Leith. I thought you said Leaf.
No, Leith. L-E-I-T-H. Leith, maybe?
Leith, okay. Leith?
I think it's Leith.
That's what wins it for us.
No, it's just something.
Lathe.
It's just a piece. Well,
I mean, I'm just going to emphasize here. These are physicists, by the way.
Physicists.
So why would they want to reference physicists?
Because it's a cartoon about doctor shit or like science stuff.
Are we going all in on Dr. Shit? The famous 80s cartoon.
Are we doing this? Are
we are not doing this. We could do better than Dr. Shit.
Physicist. Cartoon.
Were there musical? Like shows about musical, like...
Physicist, let's think PBS cartoons scientists. Or something. Cartoons on PBS?
I am drawing a total blank there.
Is there anything from... I mean, Ghostbusters wouldn't have been a musical. I just feel like those names could get
now. Back now to I want to stage a Ghostbusters Broadway musical.
I like it.
After the success of Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
It was mocked, but I think that was considered to be a success. That show,
just the from the sheer level of oddity, I'm sure.
Didn't like the first Spider-Man die or something? It got horribly they kept, like
getting hurt, and yeah. I got nothing. I have absolutely nothing.
I'm not sure.
No. No, we're not giving up like that.
Oh, I'm not giving up.
No, I'm just saying I'm having a hard time.
Let's forget about the music thing.
Okay.
Science-based cartoons from the 80s. You said they were what?
I'll read the question one more time. What 80s musical cartoon featured characters with surnames borrowed from real-life physicists Stephen Benton, Emmett Leith, and Dennis Gabor?
I mean, if people going back in time, something having to do with physics? Something to do with...
Baby Time Travelers.
Baby Time Travelers. The musical.
I was going to say maybe Captain Planet. I don't know about that. Something to do with like nuclear something?
There was no music in Captain Planet.
We're the Planeteers. You can be one too. Because saving our own planet is the thing to do.
The intro and outro music.
Looting and polluting is not the way. Here's what Captain Planet has to say.
Phil Collins didn't write this.
Yeah, all right. I'll never live that shit down.
Is Magic School Bus all 90s?
I would think that's 90s.
I mean, I know it's mostly 90s, but if it was like an 87, 88 kind of thing.
I don't think it came out at any point in the 80s.
And I freaking love the Magic School Bus.
Not Science Court.
Mm-mm.
I'm gonna need an answer, guys.
Oh, guys, I don't know.
Pretty long sus here.
Yeah.
I feel like we are disappointing. The Snorks.
Fish Police. Capital Critters.
Is it definitely not Muppet Babies?
Family Dog.
Fletcher just scraping here at the bottom. what's left?
Oh, we can't keep scraping.
No. The Jetsons were 70s, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. If not 60s.
60s, I think.
Jeez. I don't know. Let's go with...
I think we got to take the L.
We got to guess something.
Oh, we're definitely taking the L. It's just how hard we're taking the L.
Very hard. We'll guess the Snorks. We'll say the Snorks.
Wrong.
What if that was fucking right?
No, as much as I love the Snorks, no. The correct answer is Gem and the Hologram.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, according to show creator Christy Marks, Hasbro, the toy company, this was one of those toy shows, had already chosen the characters' first names, but Christy Marks had free reign over the surnames and chose ones that corresponded with scientists who worked on holographic technology.
I think that's the only 80s cartoon we didn't mention by name.
I was oh my gosh. Sure.
Just danced completely all the way around it numerous times.
Lee.
I mean, I guess I didn't expect you guys to watch Jen and the Holograms, but.
Fantastic question.
Thank you very much.
That's great.
That was really great.
Thank you.
Holy cow. Your last question from me for this round. Which country in the world has the most pyramids?
Oh. Okay.
Do you know this, Lee?
I have a guess.
You got the look.
I have a guess.
Okay, it's not Egypt. Flat out, can't be Egypt.
Right. No.
It's Central America. Central or Southern America. It has to be.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's a big country in Central South America?
Mexico. Yeah, that's Mexico. What I was thinking.
There are many famous pyramids in Peru, but mm-hmm. I think the answer is Mexico.
I think, yeah, I was thinking Peru, but I think I agree Mexico would be, I think, a better... Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with it. We're all in.
Mexico.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Aww.
I, too, thought it was going to be somewhere either in Central America, South America. 118 pyramids in Egypt is no match for 220 pyramids in Sudan.
Sudan. Africa.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Like Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little lower.
All right. Fair enough.
Wow.
Okay. That is our second round.
Damn.
Let's take a little break, and then we have a Rate My Question from Quizmaster Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back, and it's time for a Rate My Question.
Rate My Question.
Is that Brandy and Monica I hear over there?
May as well be.
Wow. We have a note here from Dallas. Dallas writes, "Hey guys, I'm getting ready to host some 80s pop culture trivia. And I said, hey, why not send you one of the questions? I've never done an audio question like this before, but why not try something new? I'm calling it a... Hit Song Rewind."
Ooh.
Rate the name, too. I like that so far. Let's. I'm going to wait for the song, though, before we call it a Hit Song Rewind. Name this chart topper released in 1984 from a 30-second clip of the song in reverse.
Hmm.
So we have reversed a backmasked track here.
Back it up, Dallas.
Play attachment. Be careful. There is a very big crescendo. So I hope I don't blow you guys out here.
I hope you do blow me out, baby.
I think I know this.
I know it. I know it now.
Yep.
I had a bit of an epiphany when I was listening to this clip. You might say that I went,
"Aha!"
Yes, I think this is "Take on Me."
Yep,
by Aha.
Mm-hmm. This is 100%.
Big crescendo, and as soon as I heard that, in the middle, it started off here. We'll just verify that is the correct answer here. Yes, it is "Take on Me."
Good job, guys! I didn't even get that.
Yeah.
All right. So,
great idea. I really like this.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
The Hit Song Rewind by Quizmaster Dallas. I'm going to give, I can't really rate the name Pibbs, but I'm just going to say I like that name a lot for this. As far as the question itself, it's not really suited for my Pibbs format, but I have to agree with you, Mark. This is a great idea for an audio clue. Play it backwards. We got a 50-50 here in the room of who was able to identify that. So that's good for a 4-person team, I think.
Well, I think especially with the way you do it, where you play them and then later on you play them right before you grab the answer sheets. Like, it would give you enough time to kind of come at it with a fresh angle after hearing it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. A+.
I like it.
Great question.
What do you guys think?
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's more a declaration of the greatness of the format. I mean,
rate my format.
Yeah, exactly.
Rate my question format.
Da 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 da. Rate my format.
There it is. Great job, Dallas. Thanks for sending that in. If you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or a missed correction or even just a little no note, please do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Nice.
All right, Kristen.
Kristen, ladies first, huh?
Let's do this. So okay. Polite of you guys. All right, my last question is, what is Wisconsin's state motto?
We love cheese.
um,
Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. Because the Packers.
State motto.
What happens in Wisconsin is known in Michigan.
I mean, I feel like it's stuff like this cheesy. Is tricky because I feel like there are states that have multiple. I don't multiple know. If I guess there's like an official motto or whatever, but like, I don't know.
I have no idea. E pluribus unum.
I thought this was very interesting because it is very succinct.
Okay. It's not ab ova usque ad mala from eggs to apples.
No.
Could it be something just like strength?
It could be.
Or like unity.
Mm-hmm.
She said it's succinct.
Wisconsin. We're pretty great.
I thought you were just going to leave it at Wisconsin.
It's all good. It's all good. S apostrophe A-L-L. Good.
That would be Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Saul. Saul good, man.
I don't know. I got nothing. Strength, unity.
Unity through
peace,
strength.
Love, respect.
Strength through peace.
Earth, fire, wind, water, heart.
Captain Planet.
Here we go again.
He's a hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
Planet Traitor, I'll fucking kill you.
That was Don Cheadle's Captain Planet?
Yes.
Well, what do we know about Wisconsin? Lots of tea partiers
Middle
there.
Eastern. Not Middle
Midwestern.
Eastern. Midwestern. Midwestern. It is Middle Eastern.
Most pyramids, more than any yes. other state in the U.S.
All made out of cheese.
It's Midwestern.
No president's heads.
Is it like all for one? Is it like a Musketeers type thing?
I don't think so. When I think of Wisconsin, I think of like what do they call it? Like Minnesota nice. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, I was just thinking because like the Packers are like owned by a bunch of people, right? It's like a community owned team.
Green Bay, that's
what I was thinking. But I mean, that's probably just a Packers thing. It's probably not a Wisconsin thing.
I mean, it could be. I mean, like I said, like kindness. I mean, it
help
could
your
be,
neighbor.
Yeah, it could be like friendly.
Friendly. Is that a motto? Be sure. Friendly.
Be friendly.
Be friendly.
We're friendly.
You want to go with that? Be friendly.
We're friendly, y'all.
Be friendly. The state motto.
Are we doing this? Are we going?
I have nothing. I got nothing else.
We're gonna say be friendly.
Be friendly is also wrong.
Oh wow! What a surprise.
Oh, you were very close with the strength, unity. Their state motto is forward.
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 Wisconsin forward. Okay.
Yeah. May I rate your
that
question?
Is short.
You can definitely rate my question.
I think it would be a little bit more accessible and a little more interesting if you said what state's motto is forward.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
that does pull you down to about 50 answers.
Yeah, I was going to say, it definitely shortens 5, the amount of answers. Now, that being said, I still would have definitely gone with a Western state because I would have thought, you know,
a more progressive state west overall.
West is the, you know, moving west is going forward.
Oregon right? trailing it.
So I would have thought like Oregon, California, something like that, but mm-hmm. definitely would have whittled down the possible answers.
All right. You mentioned Hasbro earlier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Toy history question.
Yeah. So they use toys from what two Japanese toy lines to make up the majority of the initial release of the Transformers toy line?
One more time.
Hasbro used toys from what two Japanese toy lines to make up the majority of the initial release of the Transformers toy line.
Could one of them be Gundam?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking Gundam and Voltron.
I think that's good.
Because Voltron had kind of a Connectum
yep.
type thing going on. And Gundam is hugely popular in Japan.
It literally and figuratively huge.
Yes. Literally and figuratively, and literally figuratively.
Every way in which something can be huge, it is.
Is it the toy lines like themselves or like the manufacturers?
They were both made by the same company. I'll give you the name. The name of that company was Takara.
Okay, so that's not the answer.
Two different toy lines from the manufacturer Takara.
Okay, I was going manufacturer route. I was like, I know. No. He just has been teaching me about Transformers because a new one arrives at our house every day recently.
All right, I fall into, you know, pop culture holes, right? And on. So I've always been a huge fan of Transformers, and I've kind of had a little bit of resurgence of it lately.
True. Yeah, this is like the justification for your interests. Like, this is how I explain like wrestling storylines to Kyle. Like, mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't care. And I'm like, no, hold on. I have to explain why I'm watching this to you. So you don't just think like, why is he watching wrestling? And I'm like, it's very important to me because of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Voltron. I feel good about Gundam, but I'm okay with Voltron. I think it might be something else. But what do you guys think?
I am are GoBots? Not an expert.
You remember GoBots? Were Rings they Japanese?
I'm not sure.
So GoBots were like the doubled feature.
The twin toy.
The twin toy, yeah. Of Transformers.
So would they take GoBots and then add it with Gundam in order to make Transformers? Like, were GoBots missing a part of the equation, or did GoBots come after Transformers and it was like a clone?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it might be.
Let's go with Voltron and Gundam.
We're going to go with Voltron and Gundam.
That is incorrect.
Ultraman?
No. Gundams don't transform.
That's right. True.
The two toy lines from Takara were Microchange and Diaclone.
Oh, okay.
GoBots were a competitor in Japan, because Japan at the time was full of transforming robot toys. Like, every toy company was making transforming robot toys. GoBots was brought to the States by another company. Can't remember the name. It might have been Mego, like the year before Transformers. But they just didn't knock it out of the park the way Transformers did.
Right on.
Mm.
Okay.
If everything was a transforming robot, what made Transformers so different?
Very much, I think it had to do with the storyline, because they went to Marvel Comics and they crafted personalities, characters, storylines for all of the initial toys. And then they came out with comic books and cartoon, and it just was just a huge multimedia platform. It just hit the right people at the right time.
Right on. Cool. Yeah, they nailed it.
Yeah.
I'm about to go through. The need and they were like, yoink, let's put this in there. Mm-hmm. Who's Gem in the Holograms?
Exactly.
Transformers.
No one we know.
I'm going to go through such a fucking GoBots wormhole later. I haven't thought about the GoBots forever. Week. I had a GoBots hologram sticker on the side of my dresser drawer when I was a kid that I'm just now remembering.
Oh, snap.
And I'm having like some serious heavy duty nostalgia.
Right on.
Woof.
All right, Mark, you or me?
You, right?
Okay. Inventions, my last category for you guys. Wanha Hera, also known as the Old Gentleman, is the world's oldest surviving what? Wanha Hera, also known as the Old Gentleman, is the world's oldest surviving what?
Turtle?
I want to say it's a tree of some sort.
Oh.
That just sounds right to me.
Wanha Hera. Oh, this is, you said inventions?
Yes.
Oh, inventions.
Inventions is the category.
Oh,
okay.
We ain't inventing no turtles, guys.
Okay, so some kind of machine.
Wanha Hera.
Printing press?
What is it? The Old Gentleman?
The Old Gentleman.
So what do old gentlemen do? They're hopefully polite. Helpful.
Very helpful.
Sentient robot.
Watch Matlock.
The oldest surviving
Is it a robot that just creates new Matlock episodes based on the Matlock episodes it's watched?
What do we think the
It's a Twitter bot. Got
the name Juan Ha Hera. What language do we think that is?
Juan Ha Hera.
Can you spell it, please?
W-A-N-A. I'm sorry. W-A-N-H-A. Juan Ha Hera. H-E-R-R-A.
Oh. W-A-N-H-A-N?
No, or just H-A. Yep.
Juan Ha H-E-R-R-A.
Yep.
Damn.
Old gentleman.
I should have peed during the last break. I fucked up.
Go Amazon style.
Is it racist to go Asian, to think like Asian
inventions? No, I don't think so. I was trying to think. I mean, that's, I think, one of the big ways era. To. Because at first I was thinking it might sound like it'd be Spanish, but it's like Juan Hai if it was a J. But yeah. The fact that it's a W makes me think twice about that. I mean, that.
China, very old culture.
Invention.
What would it be?
My mind keeps coming back to printing press, but.
I'm fine with going with printing press.
I can't really think of another.
Hera, H-E-R-R-A. Like to see if these are the old gentleman.
The old gentleman.
I'm leaning into gentleman more so. Like I'm leaning like something like helpful. Like
Juan Ha Hera means the old gentleman.
That's right. I didn't say that in the question, but yes.
The old gentleman.
What can it? I mean, I know that's what an invention is, like doing something to help you, but like.
I mean, it's just, it's old. They personified it.
If it does sound Asian and it's something Asian, I feel like the printing press is even more kind of a possibility. Because I feel like they were making that shit, you know, somewhere in Asia.
Yeah.
Way back before us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to go with printing press? Throw caution to the wind?
I don't think that's it, but I can't think of something else to throw in.
I mean,
could it be something that looks like it's got a prick?
We can try to suss it out a little bit more.
Like a gas pump?
Blowjob robot?
Okay.
Oral Roberts. Blowjob Bobs. Okay. I was trying to think of something as gentleman that might have like some kind of like.
And you thought blowjob robot?
No, I thought gas pump.
And he's all gummy because he's an old guy. So
he said blowjob robot. Your husband, the man you decided to marry, he said blowjob robot.
Hit me.
That's him.
Great.
Can't wait till you get a plug-in for your PS5. What are virtual blowjobs going to become a thing? So I could just lock myself in my house and die.
They're already invented. So you Sick. Just need to special order it, man.
This will be my last.
It might be like thousands and thousands of dollars.
Total immersion VR rig.
We're going to have to do the next couple episodes over Zoom.
I saw a picture of a man wearing one of these setups and it was like a full body like casing and the headset. And he was just laying there. I'm like, this man is totally prone right now.
I mean, but in his mind,
wasn't
that it was in the documentary. It was in the documentary Ready Player One.
Oh, was it?
No.
Oh, wait. It's not a documentary, no. But is there a scene like that?
I want to say there is something along those lines in the book.
Oh, man.
The movie did not cover.
That's some Brave New World type stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
A Brave New World.
There's a musical for you.
We're just going to say, let's just say printing press.
All right.
No. It is of Finnish origin. It is the world's oldest diving suit, made of calfskin, sewn with wax thread, presumed to be from the 18th century, used for inspecting the bottom of a boat.
Oh.
Dives could not last very long, though, because it wasn't completely waterproof.
Okay.
Given so, that thing starts filling up with water.
So not that helpful.
You would enter through a hole in the suit stomach and then twist the strap and then tie it around your waist to close it off. But in 1988... the Someone Raw Museum conservator Juko Trunen tailored a perfect reproduction of the old gentleman using the same method of materials found in the 18th century version known as the young gentleman or Nuri Hera. The newer diving suit proved that it can serve its purpose. Several underwater experiments, including a 40-minute long dive, showed that the suit was fully functional, which indicates that the other one, it said dives could not last very long. I'm guessing less than 40 minutes on that one, which is that enough time to inspect the boat? Like, all right, you got 20 minutes down and then 20 minutes on the way back up.
Tiny boat.
Yeah, I there was would a really... not trust those boat inspectors.
Here's a picture, by the way, in case you wanted to see what the old gentleman looks like. Oh my God. You got to enter through the stomach of that thing.
Oh, no. And what this looks like is kind of like a giant squid with feet.
Yeah, I think it looks a member of Slipknot.
It looks like something from my nightmares.
Yes.
It looks like one of those... like it looks like an old like nautical suit. So I guess that also kind of makes sense.
Please put that in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see a picture of the
no shows.
We're going to put a picture of the old gentleman as the show episode, I think, artwork.
Okay.
Oh, the amount of pee I have inside of me is great. Here's the last question of the night.
A great amount of pee.
It is an impressive.
Who has a great
grande
of pee in them?
Urine.
An impressive amount of pee.
How long can we drag this out?
According to a 2015 CNN article based on a 1960 study, what are the two innate fears that babies are born with? Based on a 2015 CNN article based on a 1960 study, what are the two innate fears that babies are born with?
All right, 1960s. So the Soviets.
automatically
that Red Scare, you know, the Ruskies, they're coming for you.
They're automatically afraid of communism and the color red.
That's right.
I was going to say the fear of success, to be honest. I mean, how long are you going to be a baby for, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because, you know, when you turn one, you're one. Then you hit two and your age doubles. It's like, what if that happens every year? By the time you're three, you know, you're going to be six. It's like, come on. Like, what is going on here?
You've seen the movie Jack.
I know my math doesn't add up there.
No.
Babies, I'm not good at math.
Babies have to be afraid of what?
Maybe one, then two, then four.
Yeah.
And then eight.
Then eight.
Babies 16. Seem fearless. They're
then
always,
you can drive when you're five.
Yeah.
Next
thing you know, you're in a retirement home at 10.
But you're not a grandfather until you're 500,000.
Yes.
Oh my God. I really want to give a good answer, but I'm just laughing at the thought of a baby being afraid of Soviets. God.
So but, what's a baby going to be afraid of? They seem fearless. They climb out of their cribs.
Everything. And their, the baby's going to be afraid of everything.
Their entire world has changed from what they know.
They don't know what anything is.
They have to rely on something else, someone else, to give them what they need. Am I going to get food? Am I going to have shelter? Like, those are, like, the two...
Will I disappoint father?
The base innate fears of humanity. Is that where it comes from? Is it all rooted?
It's not fire, because you have to touch the stove, right?
Right.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So it can't be anything like...
Well, we're talking babies, like newborns, I'm assuming, like right out the womb? Or like,
well, babies, it lasts a period. There's a baby period. You got right out and then, you know, at least a couple months, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months.
So if we
probably
look
up
at,
to walking
up period, to like a year or so until it like, I mean, because there's
clowns,
obviously. God damn it.
Calrophobia.
There's just so much like cognitive function in that time, like that they're learning. So I think that would be a good cutoff, like. Maybe even when they start learning to crawl, they're like, okay, I can do this. I can get from point A to point B. So maybe even like newborn to like, when is crawling?
Six-ish fear of abandonment?
Months? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear of abandonment. Where's mommy? Where's daddy? Where's thanks, anybody? Dad. I'm by myself.
Yeah. I think that's a good one.
And.
Like crying out for attention. Crying out for
starvation, fear of starvation.
Yeah.
Abandonment and starvation.
Those are some pretty serious shit when you're a baby. I mean, you need all the help
a deep ass baby.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, you know, it's not putting it into such terms, but you know, that raw base emotional state.
Before they've really understood, and you can't, you know, they haven't learned how to say food, or, you know, like they're trying to communicate. It's like a pet, you know, like they're trying to communicate with you and you can't entirely think of what they need. So you're just going through the list. Do they, you know, want to cuddle? Do they need food? Do they need to be changed? Like,
those are definitely the base fears of our cats.
Oh, yeah. They never think they're going to be fed again.
So these are, yeah, I think these two nurturing qualities could be good answers.
Yeah.
Abandonment and
starvation, lack of food. When's my next meal coming and who's going to hold me?
Yeah.
That's what babies want, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Don't leave me and feed me nachos. I mean, that's what I want. Dang. Yeah.
Titties and sleep. Some things never change.
Okay, so is that what we're, that's what we're going for, right?
Yes.
Fear of abandonment and fear of starvation.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Okay.
Teach us.
I'm really sad to see that we got another
They're okay
wrong.
With those
I'm
things,
really
apparently.
Sad. The correct answer is falling.
Oh, it's just like talking about them climbing out of cages and now they have no fear. Okay.
Okay.
And loud noises.
Mm. So we went too deep.
Of falling and loud noises are the two innate fears. Falling, of course, like changes in gravity.
Yeah, that can fuck you up.
And of course, loud noises being alert in case something is coming to get you.
Oh, man, like that. They have no depth perception.
Mm.
So abandonment, they're totally cool with. Starvation, whatever.
Who but they're cares? Not, they don't I think just,
another lesser fears.
They're lesser fears. Lesser fears. Yeah, clearly.
Man, okay. No, that's really... Damn. Yeah, because depth perception doesn't really come up until... Oh, that's a good one. We just went too deep.
I thought it was pretty interesting, You got very metaphysical.
Yeah, well, I mean, what does baby want? That's where we work backwards from that. But those make sense. Those answers make sense.
Those would have been our tops as babies.
Yeah.
I don't know what these 1960s babies were on.
Kind of bullshit these were on. Our babies these days are worried about not being able to have avocado toast.
Yeah.
Yep. And they should be thinking about their mortgage.
Right?
Yeah. Come on, baby.
Home ownership.
Come on. When I graduated college, I had a six-figure job and a house already.
All right. Well, Kristen Fletcher, thank you so much for joining us on the No-No once again.
Thank
so
you for having us. Having
you. Thank you for having – this is always so much fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
We'll have to do it again
on.
Soon.
Please. Yes.
Let's not let 144 minus 18 episodes pass next time.
Yeah.
Again, can't math.
Anything you guys want to promo here before we sign off? Any social network accounts or anything or
no advice? I don't think so. I post Feral a lot messages. Of cute pictures of our cats on my Instagram.
That's basically all my Instagram is.
My Twitter's just my mental ramblings and breakdowns, so that's pretty much off limits.
Stay away from that.
I'm kind of boring, you know. I just work in an office. I don't really have too much going else outside of that.
I'm except basically the same wonderful. And just, you know, picking up new Transformers figures every so often.
Both of your jobs anything. Outside of your
don't,
jobs.
Don't bother them, basically, is what we're saying. Don't bother them.
If you want to.
Please bother us. We are introverts and we need the...
Well, drop your handles then. If you want people to check out your stuff, any Transformer toy posts?
No, not really.
He keeps his Transformers to himself.
Yeah. He should post. He has very impressive collections. I know when I first... one of the first times I hung out with Fletcher at his house, his room had like built-in glass shelving, and I just went in and full of Transformers, and I was just like, okay, like this is good.
In the museum.
I love this.
It really set the stage for what she was getting herself into.
Yeah, it was like okay, like she knows. But
yes,
no,
you passed a valuable
really
test that day.
Yeah.
But no, he's just got so many cool Transformers. He really should post more of them. I'll try to get him on that.
Well, that concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. And you could support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Hey, speaking of Patreon, we want to go ahead and give a shout out to all our wonderful Patreon supporters and providers, including our quiz daddies, Kyle, Tommy, and Tim, our team captains, Dylan, Sean, Lydia, Gil,
it's Gil,
Kristen, Fletcher, hi, and David Holbrook, David Holbrook, David Holbrook, our proverbial lightkeepers, John, Adam, Molly and Ryan, Nicole, Jenny, Christopher, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Elise, Josh, E. Lucas. And thanks to our Rumpelsnailskins, Alex, Doug, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael J.
Mike, gentleman with a J.
And Michael C.
Mike, the cold gentleman.
Oh, okie dokie.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
I had to read those names nice and slow because I always go so quickly through them. Got to give them a moment to shine.
Yeah.
Because these people support us. You know what I mean?
And we are grateful.
Including these wonderful people right here. We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and do some deep research. Search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.